This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As I was preparing for today, Shelley said to me, "What's the title of your sermon?" I don't normally give much thought to this, but since we changed websites, there's a place for title. And so Shelley's asking me this question on a weekly basis. I thought, okay, what's the title? Naturally, we would go to something like Run the Race. I thought, that sounds like a sermon I might have preached before. Maybe I need a fresh title. So I kind of Googled titles. Some people have said Running the Race. Yeah, it's pretty similar. Keep on Running. Leaning for the Tape. I didn't know if that really worked. In Training. Living a Successful Christian Life. Didn't sound like it had enough of Brian in it. Long Distance Running. I quite like this. Plod On. We Are in a Marathon. The only marathon this morning is going to be my sermon. Okay. Run at all costs, running for the prize. So those were some of the titles. So Shelley, you've got a couple to think about there for when you upload this. And I thought, no, none of those really work for me. Then I made up some myself. Run and don't be outdone. That's quite clever. The Sprint of Sanctification. Oh, hallelujah. This one I quite liked because it was felt kind of inclusive, except for a couple of people maybe. Run to 101. It's not a standard marathon. That's the age, of course. Run with the sun. Run, you're not done. Outrun the evil one. Run like number one. Run like father. Run like son. So you'll have to go to our website to see which one made it to the top of the pops. But as we read the scripture, this is pretty much what the author's talking about. He's talking about running a race, saying, hey, enduring till the end. How do you make it to the end? How do you run in such a way that you get the prize? And so there's a whole lot in the scripture that we can grab onto. He starts with, near the beginning there, let us run. He's saying to the folk, hey, you've seen a race. You've seen people running. Let us run. Some people might never have thought of the Christian faith in this way, running. I know I never heard the scripture until I was a Christian for a while. And I was like, oh, it's a race. I can run. I know how to do that. And Jesus is not just encouraging us along the way. He's not standing at the end saying, come to me. He's not at the beginning saying, go, go, go. But he's running the race with us. He's part of this journey that we're on. So as we run, there's somebody who's with us. He's saying, let us run. All of us together actually are in this race. I don't know if you've seen, if you follow marathon running. I do once a year, the comrades. But there's these buses that come through. It's a group of people who are running together. And there's like a sometimes a little flag, 9 o'clock, 9 hours, 11 hours, 10 hours. It's like, if you stick with us, you're going to get to the end. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And so let us run together. Christ is saying, I'm running with you. And we need to say, well, we're in on this run. We're together on this run. We're in this bus and we're going for this run. Some are faster. They set the pace. We join in. The next thing that we read here is let us run with perseverance. There's a way that we should run this race. We run with perseverance. Obviously, the author is writing to a group of people and saying, hey, run with perseverance. So we can deduce that there was something happening that required perseverance. Not just running, but the author of this letter must have realized, oh, those guys are getting thumped. Hang on to Hang on to perseverance. Hang on to something so that you finish this race. So that word perseverance is really great. The race is hard. Sometimes it's challenging. But perseverance is the thing that's going to really help us. One of the things. It's not a mere stroll or a jog. But it's something that requires us going and not stopping and pushing through and continuing as we run. James 1, 2 and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's not a bad thing that we have these problems in our Christian life. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. The scripture is telling us that it produces that perseverance. So when it comes, understand, this is something that's going to really make me good, strong. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may endure, but be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We're warned about suffering. We're warned about trials, but we're encouraged to persevere. I have to tell you the story about this guy, Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe was on the U.S. track and field team in 1912. He was a runner. The morning of his events, somebody stole his running shoes. So you can't see it in this picture, but if you look closely, he's got two different shoes and different socks. He went and found some running shoes in the rubbish, in a trash can. And he's got different socks because they were different sizes. So on the one foot, he had to wear two socks to compensate for the larger shoe. And when he ran, he won two gold medals that day with these shoes, running that race. We can learn a lot for our spiritual walk from these kinds of illustrations. You know, we sometimes face opposition, face challenges. We need to go and make a plan. We need to say we're not just going to. He could have just said, that's it. My Nike Super Air, Mega, Super Light, whatever are gone, I'm finished. But he didn't. He made a plan, he got in the race, and he won the prize. He won the prize. So we're called to run with perseverance. He never gave up. We shouldn't give up. He didn't give in the towel. We should continue. Then we read, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, We're not in this on our own. We're running together. But there's people that have gone before us. So you can picture a running stadium and you can picture the crowds of people. So we have that. We have that. We have people who have gone before us. They're cheering us on. And we can look to them and say, we've seen how you've run. We want to run like that. We've got examples in the Bible. We've got examples in history. I know there's people that you really look up to in the Christian faith. I spoke about disciples and disciple making. There's those people in our lives as well. People that we've had impact our lives physically, really, in our very own lives. And we need to look to that great crowd of witnesses and say, this is how I want to finish the race. This is how I want to run the race. That's encouragement that we need to find from this great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering. They're running with us. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Another problem is that we sometimes don't have the perseverance, and now we read that there's stuff that entangles, there's sin. It's a reality that temptation comes. Sin wants to crush us. The evil one wants to crush us, wants to plant stuff in our lives that is going to stop us running the race. The author is very humble and includes himself in this statement. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything. It's important to realize that as we run, we face problems. You know, before I became a Christian, I was walking with the world. There's a place where we walk with the world. Everything is going in this direction, and sin almost doesn't look like a problem. If we're honest with ourselves, I'm walking like this and everybody else is walking like this. I swear, everybody else swears. I drink in excess, everybody else drinks in excess. But there's a place where Christ says, no, repent. We know that means turn 180 degrees. Now I'm walking in this direction. Suddenly all of this coming towards me, the people going this way, it starts to look unnatural. We've got this before and after. Before we knew Christ, it seemed like this was the thing to do. This was the right thing. Many of the things I did before I became a Christian seemed just normal. Just so okay. No stress. But when I turned and I said, Christ, yeah, be Lord of my life, and I did that 180 degree turn and I walked in this direction, suddenly I realized, gee, all the people going this way, man, there's stuff in their lives that's just not right. There's stuff in my life that I need to sort out. And as I sorted out, I realized more and more how much stuff is in other people's lives. We need to make that turn. We need to turn 180 and say, I'm going in this direction. And as we walk with Christ, we realize one of the hindrances that I think many people face is time. I challenged you a while back to do 100 days worth of Bible reading. Time. Those are not just one verses that I challenged you to read a day. That's easy. That's lightweight. I won't tell you where I am. I haven't done the 100 yet. I'm not there. And I know some people keep checking in with me. We're still going, Brian. I'll continue with that. But time is a challenge. That's one of the hindrances that we see. Just to stop. Just to wait on the Lord. Just to stop and pray. We don't have time. We don't have time. You're not going to be given time supernaturally. If that's one of the hindrances, you need to order your life so that you've got time. So those hindrances, we need to make our lives work for Christ. We need to work through that stuff. And then the sin. Sin is a real problem in people's lives. We live in a world where we're saturated by sin. Where what was abnormal 20 years ago now is celebrated. We see that happening with a lot of things. And we're in this place where we're assaulted. And we mustn't give in to that. We've got to stand. Oh, no, we've got to run. We've got to run this race. We can't stop and go, I'm going in this direction. I'm just going to quickly turn around. Oh, no, wait, that's not quite right. No. We've got to watch out for sin in our lives. Paul says this in Galatians 5, 7 and 8. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. When there's a voice saying, do this, and you know it's not right. No, that's not God. Resist the devil and he will flee. We've got to be firm in this race. Perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. We can do nothing in this race if we're not looking to him. He is standing at the finishing line calling us. He is running with us. He set us off at the beginning. Go, run a good race. We've got to look to him. When you watch those marathon runners, it's unnatural for the front guy to look back. It messes with their stride. It messes with their brain. But it's a natural thing. How far is the next person? Are they catching me? Am I still in the lead? We naturally want to look back, but we have to look to Christ and not look back. Charles Spurgeon said this, we are compelled, even before we take a step in the running, to bow the knee and cry unto the strong for strength. Great theologian saying, stop. Lord, help me. Help me to look to you in everything I do. Help me not to look back. Help me to run this race with endurance, with commitment, with vigor, with passion. Help me, Lord. He's in front of us and he calls us. I want to say that we all run to, or we all run from something. We all do. When I was going in this direction in my life, there were things I was running towards, and there's things I was running away from. We run towards fame. We run towards rewards. Generation that runs towards likes. It's a fact. Instagram, Facebook. How many likes have I got? There's a place where we run towards stuff. We're running from stuff, guilt, shame, sin. We run away from that stuff. We're all running. Everybody in this world is in a race. But we've got a new race that has been marked out for us, where we run towards Jesus Christ. So fix your eyes on Jesus. The race marked out for us. There's a course that's been assigned. There's a place that we need to go. There's a race that we should run. When a starter shoots the gun and all those runners are on the line, they don't just kind of go off in like multiple directions. Woo! I'm going straight across here through the rugby post to the finish. I'm going to go around the track like I should. Oh, I'm just going to go through the stands here to the hot dog vendor because that's where I'm running. No, this is where you must go. We know where we must go. I read this article beginning of the year, and I thought, yo, I've got to use this sometime. Imagine reading this. Dog accidentally runs half marathon after being let out for pee. Finishes seventh. I mean, so this lady let her bloodhound out to go and do its business, and it crawled under the fence and joined this race. Ran 21 kilometers, came seventh. Yeah, there it is. And the next one, another great picture. And there was little comments, if you Google this, little comments, like one of the runners said, yeah, it was really amazing, you know. At one point, the dog stopped to sniff a dead rabbit. And then on three different occasions or several occasions, it played with some cows in a field. And at the end, they actually gave it a medal. And this, the lady who owned the dog said this. She said, all I did was open the door, and she ran the race on her own accord. She said, she's laid back and friendly, so I can't believe she ran the whole half marathon, because she's actually really lazy. So you can see, when I saw that email jump into my inbox, I was like, I've got to go and read this article. And how much are we like this? How much are we like this? I mean, would we have given up at the smelling the rabbit or playing with the cows? We would have been like, oh, yeah, I'm done with this race. We don't know where the end is. The end is different for different people when we'll meet Christ. It's different. But we're called to run the whole race. Just keep running. At some point, he'll call us home. We'll be with him. It'll be an awesome time for us. We're running. We're running for that prize. Let me read that scripture one more time. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So sometimes I do this in church, and I was really convicted that today would be the day for me to tell you this again. It's called When I Became a Christian by an author whose name is Adrian Pless. When I became a Christian, I said, Lord, fill me in. What will I have to suffer in this world of shame and sin? Well, he said, your body may be killed and left to rot and stink. Do you still want to follow me? I said, amen. I think, amen. Not completely sure, Lord. Can you just run through that again? You say my body may be killed and left to rot and stink? Sounds terrific, Lord. I say amen, I think. But Lord, there must be other ways to follow you, I said. I really would prefer to just end up dying in my bed. Well, yes, he said. You could put up with sneers and scorn and spit. Do you still want to follow me? I said amen, a bit. A bit, amen. Amen, a bit. A bit, I say amen. I'm not completely completely sure, Lord. Can we just run through that again? You say I may put up with sneers and scorn and spit. I think I've got it, Lord. I'll say amen a bit. And then I sat back and I thought for a while and I tried a different ploy. Now, Lord, I said, your good book says that Christians live in joy. That's true, he said. You need the joy to bear the pain and sorrow. Do you still want to follow me? I said, amen, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lord, I'll say it then. That's when I'll say amen. I'm not completely sure, Lord. Can I just run through that again? You say, I need the joy to bear the pain and sorrow. I think I've got it, Lord. I'll say amen tomorrow. Now, look, he said, I'm not asking you to spend an hour with me, a quick salvation sandwich and a cup of sanctity. The cost is you, not half of you, but every single bit. Do you still want to follow me? I said, amen. I quit. I'm very sorry, Lord, I said. I'd love to follow you. I just don't think that religion is the manly thing to do. Forget about religion then and think about my son and tell you, are you man enough to do the things he's done? Are you man enough to see the need and man enough to go? Man enough to care for those whom no one wants to know? Are you man enough to say the things that people hate to hear? To battle through Gethsemane in loneliness and fear? And listen, are you man enough to stand it at the end? The moment of betrayals by the kisses of a friend? Are you man enough to hold your tongue and man enough to cry? When nails break your body, are you man enough to die? Are you man enough to take the pain and wear it like a crown? Man enough to love this world and turn it upside down? Are you man enough to follow me? I ask you once again. I said, oh Lord, I'm frightened, but I also said, amen. Amen, 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 amen. I said, oh Lord, I'm frightened, but I also said, amen. What I'd like to do now, as a way of us just reflecting on what I've been talking about, one of the traditions of our church are creeds, and one of the creeds that we follow is the Apostles' Creed. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to face the screen here, and I've got the words up. And as a way of kind of saying, Lord, here we are, amen, won't you just say it with me? So won't you stand with me? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please, will you be seated? Just leave that screen up just for a moment. Sorry, Cindy. Leave that slide up. So just to say that we're not affirming the Catholic Church with the bells and smells, okay? Let me just assure you, Catholic is in small letter there, church is in large. Catholic simply means the whole church. Some people have changed that to Christian church, but this is how it was written, and this is how I believe it should be said. We believe in the whole church. Just wanted to make that clear. We sang a song at the beginning. I asked Lonnie if she'd just give me the words, and she did. Sing it out, sing an anthem to his name, a generation worshiping unashamed. Give it all for the glory of our King. We proclaimed this at the beginning. And then we said, we will run. We will run after your heart. We believe you are all that you say you are. We proclaimed that. And now we said the Apostles' Creed. And I believe we're in a different place because of this morning. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. You are great and you are mighty. Lord, thank you that you call us to something that's bigger than us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't just call us to go on a little stroll, but that you call us to something that has changed the world and will continue to change the world. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to a place where we carry your good news to a world that desperately needs good news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for including us and giving us the word of truth. Thank you, Lord, for giving us places where we can share you. And thank you, Lord, for tugging at our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that we don't respond to you by saying, yes, tomorrow, Lord, or yes, in a little while, or maybe not, or oh, I quit. But Lord, let us help. Won't you help us, even though we're in a vulnerable place sometimes, won't you just help us, Lord, to say amen. We'll follow you. We will follow you. We'll run this race, Lord. Give us the strength. Give us the endurance. Help us, we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.